for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2007 Passover Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday morning, April the 6th, 2007. Jerry McGee is the speaker of this service, teaching on possible routes to diseases.
Hallelujah.
Hang on, thou bitch. I have breathed upon the four winds. I have brought thee from the four directions. Yea, I have brought thee out, yea, that I could bring thee in. I have brought thee for this purpose, yea, that I can display myself within thee and through thee. Yea, that thou shalt no longer walk in the hang-ups that thou then walk in, but yea, thou shalt walk in my divine deliverance, said thy God. Arise, arise this day, my people, and walk thou in me, and that thou shalt not go home the way that thou did come, but thou shalt walk in a deliverance and the realm of my life that thou never experienced before. This is the day that I've called thee unto, said thy God.
You may be seated.
Okay. Well, bless the Lord. I'll just go as long as I can. This is on possible routes to spiritual diseases and to diseases, not spiritual diseases. There's none that are spiritual. But anyway, I may not get a chance to do the spiritual routes, but before you do that, you have to kind of lay a groundwork to just give some insights that God's given me to healing, and I obviously do not know. I know just a little, and so today what I want to share is what God has given me. But a spiritual root for a disease is defined as a sin that is the cause of the disease. The sin can be your own personal sin. It can be sins committed against you that you haven't taken to the cross, or it can be a generational iniquity of the forefather. If there's cancer running in your family and you have cancer, you know it's a generational iniquity of the forefathers. And for some people, the thought that sin and sickness is related is it's hard for them to understand or hard for them to believe. Can you hear me? In fact, you know, if you even insinuate sometime that their physical problem could be related to a sin, they almost feel rejected. But I want to show you in the scriptures, and I could teach for 3 days just giving you scriptures to show you that sin and sickness is related. And I believe as I didn't know what Pastor Ish? I didn't know he was going to teach on that, but it really confirms that what God has for me to teach today. Everything he said is exactly the absolute truth. Because if you live in that red zone, it's going to manifest eventually in sickness. Now, when you're young, you may not see it manifest in sickness, but when you get older, it'll start working out in your physical body. And so I'd like to explain from the scriptures just a few scriptures that show you how sin and sickness is related. The first place I'd like you to go is Numbers chapter 5. God says to the disciples, blessed are your eyes because they see, and blessed are your ears because they hear. And I confess that over me almost daily, because I'm a disciple. What is a disciple? A disciple is a learner. A disciple lets God discipline them and correct them. You know, if you're a person that refuses to take accountability for your sin, you can forget ever getting healed. You've got to go before the Lord and say, yes, Lord, that's dirt. I remember my precious friend Milton Green had a carpet cleaning business, and he had a carpet cleaner. And one day he came back, and the carpet cleaner had left a big spot on here on the carpet. And he said, Ralph, what is that? And he said, that's dirt. He said, well, until you and I can agree that that's dirt, then we can't even work together. And that's kind of like it is with God. You've got to be able to take accountability for your sin. And if you confess your sin, God is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Okay, in Numbers chapter 5, you can read the whole passage, but I'm just going to read a little bit of it. But just tell you what it said. In Numbers 5, if a man thought his wife was committing adultery, he would take her to the priest, and the priest would take some dirt off of the temple floor and mix it with water and make her drink it. And if she was guilty, her stomach would swell and her thigh would waste away. And then in verse 18, the priest shall then have the woman stand before the Lord and let the hair of the woman's head go loose. And he mixes this water of bitterness. And let me just go down to, and if she was innocent, she was immune to the curse. And then in verse 28, but if the woman has not defiled herself and is clean, she will be free then to conceive children. And this is one of the roots to barrenness, physical barrenness and spiritual barrenness. In verse 27, when he's made her drink the water, then it shall come about, if she has defiled herself and has been unfaithful to her husband, that the water which brings a curse shall go down into her and cause bitterness, and her abdomen will swell. That can be one of the roots to swelling stomachs or swelling bodies or leg problems or hip problems. In Beaumont, there was a lady that when she got there, we had to help her in the van and out of the van. When she went to the hotel room, we had to take her from the hotel room down to the meeting room because she couldn't walk by herself. The Lord gave a word of knowledge that she was under this curse of the law of jealousy. And when before the meeting was over, she was getting in and out of the van by herself, and she was walking from the room, and it's almost like a half a city block to the meeting room because that curse had been broken. It says, verse 29, this is the law of jealousy when a wife, being under the authority of her husband, goes astray and defiles herself. Now, in Ezekiel, it's talking about a different kind of harlot. It's talking about a spiritual harlot. When you and I enter into a covenant relationship with Jesus, we're going to be the bride of Christ. Is that correct? And if our heart goes after other lovers, we're committing spiritual adultery, or we're a spiritual harlot. And that's why it says you adulteress or harlot, or it's talking about a spiritual harlot. Okay, Ezekiel 16:35, it says, therefore, O hear the word of the Lord. Verse 32, it says, you adulterous wife who takes strangers instead of her husband. Now, it says in Romans 6 that whatever you let control you becomes your master. Is that correct? So you know you're a spiritual harlot if you're letting something other than the Holy Spirit of God control you. It says, you adulterous wife who takes strangers instead of her husband. Men give gifts to all harlots, but you give your gifts to all your lovers to bribe them to come to you from every direction for your harlotries. Thus, you're different from these women in your harlotry. In other words, a spiritual harlot is different than a physical harlot. He says, thus, you are different from those women in your harlotries in that no one plays the harlot as you do, because you give money and no money is given to you. Thus, you're different. In other words, a physical harlot gets paid for what she does, but a spiritual harlot pays her lovers. And you're paying your lovers. So here it's talking about a spiritual harlot. Verse 38, thus I shall judge you like women who commit adultery. So you can put see Numbers chapter 5 there. I'm going to judge you like women who commit adultery or shed blood are judged. And I'll bring about on you the blood of wrath and jealousy. And I'll give you into the hands of your lovers, and they will tear down your shrines, that's your idols, demolish your high places, strip you of your clothing, take away your jewels, and leave you naked and bare. Well, we have to be covered, don't we? We're either dwelling in the secret place of the Most High God, abiding under His shadow and protection, or you're dwelling and abiding under the shadow of death. You picture God's authority like an umbrella over you. When you're under His umbrella, there's no fear, there's no, you have peace. When you lose your peace, when you're not in the green zone, as Pastor Ish said, then you've got some problems. And what I've learned to do when I lose my peace, I say, okay, Lord, where did I miss you? And then I get back under God's authority and stay there. And so there's the curse of the law of jealousy. I want to say up front, thank you. I wish that was real. The Lord's teaching me some things about planting seed. If you have 10 seed and you eat them all up, you have no harvest. Is that right? Right? I've been eating up my seed and I've repented. Praise the Lord. Okay, so sickness is a curse. I want you to see that. If you're under a curse, then there's nothing in the world that can help you except Jesus. Is that correct? You've got to find out why you're under a curse. Deuteronomy 28, and I just want to read the scriptures in Deuteronomy that have to do with sickness. Deuteronomy 28:15. It shall come about, if you will not obey the Lord your God, to observe to do all His commandments and His statutes with which I charge you today, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Now, what is the law in the New Testament is what? You love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, body, strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Is that right? Love in the New Testament fulfills the law. And so if you and I become lawbreakers, we open ourselves up to the curse. Is that correct? Okay, it says it shall, and then verse 21 says, the Lord will make the pestilence cling to you until He has consumed you from off the land where you're entering to possess it. Verse 22, the Lord will smite you with consumption, with fever, and with inflammation, and with fiery heat, and with the sword, with blight, and with mildew, and they'll pursue you until you perish. And I heard Pastor Ish say something last night. He said, you know, I don't know the technical name of something, but I know what the Word of God says. You know, my youngest son died of AIDS in 1989. Well, consumption is a wasting lung disease. Can I tell you, the world called it AIDS, but any wasting lung disease is consumption. Fever, he had fever at one point, 105. It was a wonder it didn't damage his brain. And that was the only thing that wasn't just about rotted off was the boy came to the Lord and he, for the first time in his life, was thinking straight. Most homosexuals get brain rot. He didn't. That was the only thing on his body that didn't rot was his brain. Bless God. He went blind in his eye. His testicle was this big. His feet went from 10.5 to 13.5. He probably weighed 80 or 90 pounds. He had Kaposi sarcoma, which is cancer of the small blood vessels. He had a constant cough. He had to wear a diaper. I mean, it was the most gross disease you can ever imagine. Your skin literally rots. And you know, it's so ridiculous how people are grumbling because there's no AIDS research. What more do you need to know than quit sinning, quit shacking up, quit committing a sexual sin? It's amazing how many people in the body of Christ think nothing of shacking up. God says no adulterer or fornicator is going to enter the kingdom of heaven unless he repents. And we've probably all been those things, but we better stop it. In Jesus' name. You know, I did a message down here, and it's called, and I encourage you to get the tank, Sins Worthy of Death. And I went through the scriptures and took every scripture that had to do with death and die. And can I tell you the top two sins that put you under a death curse is idolatry and sexual sin. I mean, there's other sins too, but that's the main two. That's the main two sins that bring about the wrath of God in your life. And God is not happy with that. And there'll be all kinds of physical things come upon you if you don't repent. Numbers 28:27, the Lord will smite you. Well, let me go back to consumption as a wasting lung disease, inflammation, fiery heat, the sword blight, mildew is candida. I have a friend that gets mildew up and down her walls because she's got a son that smokes pot and listens to rock music in that room. And it's a curse. In Texas, I understand that insurance companies won't insure mildew anymore. It's a curse. Repent of the curse and you can get rid of the mildew. Okay, in verse 28, the Lord will smite you with madness, with blindness, and bewilderment of heart. And I just want to give you some of the dictionary definitions of madness. It says, and you'll be driven mad by the sight of what you see. The definition of madness is not only anger or being a choleric personality, but it means suffering from psychosis, psychotic, delusional, hallucinatory, psychoneurotic, schizoid, schizophrenic, lacking in logic or a sense, unthinking, fallacious, illogical, irrational, crazy, unreasoned, unsound, ill-considered, ill-founded, ill-judged, invalid, cloudy, muddled, without rhyme or reason, mentally unstable, instability, illness, disturbed, irrational, neurotic. It covers all mental problems. And can I tell you, a psychology actually makes you worse. Jesus said, if you're not gathering with me, you're scattering. And the whole passage in Matthew 12 has to do with deliverance. And so if you're not delivering people, and the only way they can get delivered is when they repent of their sins, if you don't repent, it's like shooing off a bunch of buzzards, and the minute the deliverance minister walks away, the buzzards come back. And can I say this? If you don't walk, if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, an intimate personal relationship with Jesus, you won't be able to keep your deliverance and you won't be healed. Healing is for disciples. You know, in Matthew chapter 13 and Luke 8 and Mark 4, the disciples, after Jesus gave the parable of the sower about the seed that fell beside the road, about the seed that had no depth of soil, and about the seed that was planted among the thorns, and then he gave one good kind of soil, and you're one of those four kinds of soil. You're either the seed that goes beside the road that says, I don't believe that, or you're the seed that's planted with no depth of soil, and the minute a circumstance hits, you take a nosedive. You know, when the sun comes out on a plant that it has no depth of soil, it wilts it, right? Is that what happens? And if you don't dig around it and water it, it'll end up dying. And then the seed that's planted among the soil is because the worries, the pleasures, the cares of this world choke out the word and it doesn't bear fruit. And then the seed that's sown on good soil produces fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. And that's the disciple. And after Jesus gave that parable, he said, the disciples said, Lord, why do you speak to these multitudes of people? Why do you speak to us in parables? And he said, to you, disciples, it's been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom. But to those multitudes out there, I give them eyes that see not, ears that hear not, and a heart that cannot understand, so they can be healed. Is that what the word says? So healing is for disciple. What is a disciple? He abides in the word, and he knows the truth, and the truth sets him free. Jesus said, you know you're my disciples if you have love for one another. Is that right? In John 15, he says, so bear fruit and prove to be my disciples. What is the fruit? It's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. So if there's no law when you produce that, you come back under the law. If you don't walk in the Spirit, it says, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, if you walk in the Spirit, Galatians 5 says you're not under the law.
Right.
So if you're not under the law when you walk in the Spirit, you are under the law when you don't walk in the Spirit. Is that correct? And the demons are executors of God's law. You break God's law, you open the door to the powers of darkness. And every answer to every problem you have is found right here in the Word of God. Now, I don't know medical terms, but I know a few insights God's given me into spiritual healing. It says, so fever is a curse. Did Jesus speak to the fever in the New Testament and speak to it like it was a personality? He did. Okay, Deuteronomy 28:35 says, the Lord will strike you on the knees and legs with sore boils from which you cannot be healed, from the sole of your foot to the crown of your head. And it shall besiege you in all your towns until your high and fortified walls in which you trusted in come down. Until you repent of your idolatry, you're going to be besieged. Well, what does besiege mean? That word means to be surrounded with hostile troops. And the hostile troops are talking to you. And that's the root to hearing voices. People that are hearing voices have no spiritual walls. And a lot of times that comes down to occult, the generations of the occult, because in occultism, they tear down your spiritual wall totally, and then they rebuild demonic personalities. And that's the root of all these altars that psychology says are people in people. Can I tell you they're demons? And the scripture says in Colossians, see to it. No one takes you captive by the philosophies of the world, by the elemental principles of the world rather than Christ. You actually can be taken captive by all of that. Okay? So that's the root of hearing voices, is to get your spiritual wall built up. I believe it's Isaiah 61 that says that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He's given me to grant good news to those in Zion, to grant those who they are beauty for ashes, all of joy. And then he says, I'll rebuild their cities. I'll restore the breaches of the men. How does that say? Go to Isaiah. I'm not saying it right. Isaiah 61. It says, so they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Then they will rebuild the ancient ruins. You see, if you're totally ruined, your spiritual wall is totally torn down, then that's the route to hearing voices, siege. They'll raise up the former devastations, and they will repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. But can I tell you something? A city's not built in a day. If you've got holes and if you have no spiritual wall, you're hearing voices. But it takes time to rebuild those walls. Because God doesn't drive the enemy out in one day. Does he?
No.
Because you couldn't take it. If you saw everything that was wrong with you at once, you'd pass out. You couldn't take it. So he does it little by little. And as Glenn says, you're not going to be totally delivered till you enter eternity. But you got to be working on it. Is that right? Okay, verse 58. If you're not careful to observe all the words of this law, which are written in this book, to fear this honored and awesome name, the Lord your God, then the Lord will bring extraordinary plagues on you and your descendants, even severe and lasting plagues and miserable and chronic sicknesses. So you see, on your descendants. So you see that some of us are suffering because of the sins of our forefathers, the iniquities. Now, in covenant, God took away from the children of Israel, he took away sickness when they were under the blessing. But when they came back under the curse, this is what he says in verse 60, and he'll bring back on you all the diseases of Egypt of which you're afraid, and they'll cling to you. Also, every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of the law, the Lord will bring on you until you're destroyed. So that's every sickness that's not yet been discovered. Is that correct? The other day, I heard a man give a prophecy, and if I name this man, he's a well-known prophet in this country, but he gave a prophecy that Alzheimer's is going to be healed. Now, why would God give a supposed prophet, a prophet, a word that Alzheimer's are going to be healed, is going to be healed, when the state of man is, if you exchange the truth of God for a lie and worship the creature rather than the Creator, God gives you over to a reprobate mind. That's one of the roots to Alzheimer's. So why would a prophet speak a word like that? That wasn't from God. God is not interested in what the medical confession could do when he tells you to repent of your sin and you'll be healed. Amen?
Amen.
And you know, I want to say this. Thank God. If healing is for disciples, then the multitudes need a physician. Is that correct?
Amen.
So I thank God for Dr. Noel, and I thank God for those of you who are here that are in the medical profession that probably use the gifts God's given you as a disciple more than you use the world's stuff. And I know Dr. Noel probably cast out more demons than he's such an anointed man. So please know I'm not knocking anybody that's godly in the medical profession. But disciples have the great physician. And disciples can be healed. Because if we're under a curse and we're letting God discipline us, guess what? He heals us. Unless he's ready to take you to heaven. And if he is, why do you want to live in this world? You know, the last song that Jane played was Because He Lives. Thank you, Jane. And I was thinking, you know what? If I didn't know Jesus in this crazy, insane, maniacal world we live in, it'd drive you crazy. I'm serious. Some of the stupid decisions that are being made by leaders, if I didn't know God and that I didn't know that if I walk the highway of holiness, no lion can touch me, if I didn't know that if I dwelt in the secret place of the Most High God, that the devil can't touch me when I'm walking in obedience to the Lord. Job 28 says that the way of wisdom, no fowl of the air, no demon knows. So I am hidden. I am hidden when I walk in repentance. And it's somebody said the other day, oh, repent, repent, repent. That's all I think. Well, you know what? It's a lifestyle.
Amen.
I can tell you I feel better at my age today than I felt when I was 25 years old. I had too many demons hanging on me. I feel wonderful. A few years ago, I was going to go to Africa just before 9/11. I didn't get to Africa because all the planes were tied up for 9/11. And I went to have to get a yellow fever or some kind of shot. He said, well, you need all this other stuff. Just give me what the law requires. And he said, what kind of medication are you on? I said, I'm on nothing. He said, that's very strange. A person of your age is not on any medication. I said, you know what? I just repent of my sins every day. And every day I've got something I need to repent over.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And I thank God that I live in that green zone. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I bless God.
Amen.
But you live in that red zone and it'll kill you. Bitterness is like drinking poison and waiting for someone else to die. It's not worth it. And you know what? I have to forgive before I go to bed. If I've watched the news, I have to forgive every one of those liberals before I go to bed. Because it can get me so worked up. I think they are so stupid. Then I'm finding out, you know, whoever's running, I'm finding the difference is you either get a conservative Freemason or you get a liberal Freemason. All one world government. Lord, I thank you. If you want to get us out of here, you can. But you know what? I don't believe that God's going to rapture a dirty church. He's coming for a holy bride, not Fredericks of Hollywood. And I can show you in the Word that the wicked go first. Amen? But I hope you're right if you believe in that the church is going to disappear. I hope to God you're right. Because God can just get me out of here anytime He wants to. Okay. It says, also every curse is not written in this book. So that covers anything that's not yet been discovered. Verse 61, and every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of the law, the Lord will bring on you until you're destroyed. And among those nations you shall find no rest. Now, why is it that no rest is a curse? Because Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, come under my control, is what he's saying, and I will give you rest. Is that right?
Yeah.
So if he's not controlling you, you're under a curse and you have no rest. And you know, no rest also means stress. You go to the doctor and he says, oh, doctor, he said, well, just stress related. I can't find it. He's just saying you're not wearing the yoke of Jesus is what he's telling you. Is that right?
Yeah.
So any violation of the Word of God puts you under a curse. I've heard people say, well, you don't get a demon until you just sin a whole bunch of times. Can I tell you, you know what? If you're supposed to be in God's dwelling in God's secret place and abiding under His shadow and protection, you get out here. And David said, and the Living Bible says, I'm going to confess my faults while there's still time before judgment overtakes me. In other words, you're out here in Satan's realm and he's nipping at you. You better hurry and repent before he gets his teeth in you. And so, curses are carried out by demons and blessings are carried out by holy angels. Bless the Lord, you His angels, mighty in strength, who watches over His word to perform it. And Satan watches over His word to perform it. Okay, some more scriptures. Psalms 31:10, for my life is spent in sorrow, and my years with sighing. My strength has failed because of my iniquity. There's weakness in your body. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And my body has wasted away. Psalms 38:3, there's no soundness in my flesh because of thine indignation. There's no health in my bones because of my sin. Psalms 109, because he did not remember to show loving kindness, but persecuted the afflicted and needy man and the despondent of heart to put him to death. He also loved cursing, so cursing came to him, came into his body like water and oil into his bones. 1 Corinthians 11:29 and 30. If you take the Lord's Supper with sin in your life, what does the Word say? Some of you are sick, some of you are weak, and some of you sleep or die. Is that right?
Right.
You know, if we know that scripture and we're in church and everybody knows it, well, you know, we don't want our neighbor to think we're in sin, so we just take it, that pride. You know, I was in the church 25 years before anybody ever told me that. I mean, I read it in the Word. But before I ever had a pastor ever teach that, I'd been a Christian 25 years That's not taught in the church. It's not taught in the church that when you're angry with your brother, you go into a spiritual prison. It's not taught in Matthew 18, when you don't forgive, you're turned over to the tormentors, or the torturers, which means demons that inflict pain. It means the pain of disease. Somebody hurts you, you get angry. You got till sundown to deal with it. And if you don't deal with it, the next day it's unforgiveness, and unforgiveness, and it's bitterness. And so I believe that most sickness is rooted in unforgiveness. Unresolved childhood issues that we think it's the turkeys up here we're living with, and it's things that we've not dealt with as children. Okay, Proverbs 3, 5, and 8, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean into your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He'll make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It'll be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. There's a scripture that says, all my bones will say there's no one like you, Lord. Amen? John 5:14, Jesus healed a man. He said, now don't go and sin again lest something worse happens to you. In Hebrews 12:14 says, strengthen hands that are weak and knees that are feeble, and make straight paths for your feet so that the limb which is lame will not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Can I tell you the knee problems? If it's two knees, it has to do with what you're worshiping. If it's one knee, it has to do with bowing your knee to Baal. Straight paths. In other words, you're just lame right now, but if you don't repent, everything's going to get put out of joint. Proverbs 19:16, he who keeps the commandments keeps his soul, but he who's careless of his ways will die. Proverbs 4:20 and 23, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for their life to those who find them, and health to all their whole body. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the issues of life. Watch your heart. Guard your heart. Proverbs 14:30, a sound or a tranquil heart is life to the body, the flesh, but passion is rottenness to the bones. That's not talking about sexual passion here, but if you're angry because you're not getting enough sex, it could apply. But what it means is it means anger, rivalry, jealousy, or envy will rotten your bones. The Bible says the soul of the diligent will be made fat, which means marrowy, means you'll have healthy bone marrow. The blood is made in the bones. Is that correct? So that's why they give you blood tests. Proverbs 16:24, pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart or a joyful heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. If a joyful heart will make you well, a sad, sick heart will make you sick. Now that word joyful means an undefiled heart. So a joyful, undefiled heart and a heart full of idols and anger and bitterness and all that is defilement, because it's all idolatry. It will make you sick. 2 Peter 2, I see the 1 Peter or 2 Peter, I didn't look it up this morning, but it says that Jesus Christ died on the cross that you might die to sin, right? Number one. Live to righteousness, number two. And number three, by the stripes of Jesus, you're healed. You know, we want the third part without doing the first and second part. James 5:14, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let him pray over him, anointing him with oil. And the prayer of faith in the name of Jesus will raise up and heal the sick. And if you've committed any sins, they will be forgiven you. Confess your faults to one another and what? You'll be healed. Psalms 91:10 says, because I make the Lord my refuge, even the Most High my habitation, no evil shall befall me, nor will any plague come near my dwelling. You say, well, I got a plague in my dwelling. I believe all of us have some kind of little thing wrong with us. I have several little physical problems, and they're minor. And I'm looking, you know where I'm looking for? I'm looking for the answer right here. I'm looking for the answer for these glasses. And can I tell you that my eyes are better than they were last year? And I'm going to keep on working on my eyes until I go into glory, and I believe that God's going to honor my seeking Him. Amen? I've done word studies over eyes, took all the eye scriptures on dim, light, whatever my symptom was, repented over them, and the last three times I went to an eye doctor, my eyes were better. And one time I went, the first time I went, he said, "You got a place on your eye that looks like, that is what a cataract will end up. It'll end up being a cataract." Last time I went to the doctor, I said, "Is that place still there?" He said, "It's gone." You know, the one the Lord showed me is in Deuteronomy 32. It says, "Jezer and Gufat." It means to produce from the flesh. It means to let your heart grow callous so you cannot hear God. And see, I came out of generations of Jezer and people. You just hang in there and let the front end drag, and you operate out of the flesh. So isn't that a callus over your eyes? When your heart becomes callous. Do you know your heart, your eyes are the windows of your soul? With my eyes I can lust. With my eyes I can pity. With my eyes I can judge. With my eyes I can lust after things. And I started a scripture because I did all the eye scriptures. I've repented over all of them, and I need to start doing the heart scriptures. There's like 800 scriptures on the heart. If you have a heart problem, can I tell you, you can find the answer. Fat heart, hard heart, arrogant heart, heart trained in greed. Stony heart. There's so many scriptures. Revelation 22:18 says, "I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God shall add to him the plagues which are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city which are written in this book." That's the New Testament, isn't it? And Revelation chapter 9 says, "And the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, so as not to worship demons and the idols of gold and of silver and of brass and of stone and of wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders." Jesus said, if you're just angry with your brother, you've murdered in your heart. "Their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their sexual immorality, nor of their thefts." Most people, when they've been given a death sentence, or if somebody tells you you have cancer, you've been given a death sentence. Most people, when they hear they've been given a death sentence, they just get on the phone and try to find some man that can help them or heal them. Can I tell you there's only one man that can help you, and he's the Lord Jesus Christ? If you're under a curse, there's a scripture, I don't know if I read the one on tumors. That's a curse. That's in Deuteronomy. I think I left that one out. The more excellent way is to find out why you got what you got. That's the more excellent way. The best the medical can do is cut it out, shift it around, move it up, sew it up, medicate you, and help you hang in there. So the more excellent way is to find the reason. E.W. Kenyon, and I don't know if I agree with everything he taught, but I heard this true story about him. He went upstairs, got his best suit on, came downstairs. His daughter said, "Where are you going?" He said, "This is the day I'm going to die." And he sat down in the chair and died. And a few years ago, I found out that I had a great-grandfather that said, "This is the day I'm going to die." I called his kids in, said, "Come and have supper with Mom and I. This is the day. I feel kind of puny. This is the day I'm going to die." Sat down and died. You know, I want God to tell me when I'm going to die. I want Him, because listen, I got some loose ends I want to tie up. Right? I don't want to die with anything that I haven't gotten right with God. And that, you know, when you go to sleep at night, you need to just search your heart and ask God to show you, is there anybody that you haven't forgiven? Is there anything that you need to get right? Because you don't know where you're going to wake up. And we're indestructible till God wants us. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, there's a time to die. And I have a scripture for Al Gore. There's nothing new under the sun, Ecclesiastes says. Is that right? God help us. And then speaking of the health of the church, I want to quote from Newsweek, September 19. This, I apologize that these are old statistics, but when I taught this originally, this was about when it was. It says, "The fate of the spirit is relegated," this is from Newsweek, "the fate of the spirit is relegated to religious specialists who have little to say about their followers' physical well-being." Most churches today will help you with their doctrine, but they have nothing to say when it comes to your mental problems or your physical problems. They hire a psychologist, which is not even of the Lord. You know, you put a little water in a pitcher. I mean, you fill a pitcher full of water and put a little poison in it, it's still poison. Matthew 12, Jesus said, "If you're not gathering with me, you're scattering." Newsweek magazine acknowledges less than 5% of those who seek prayer in church for diseases and sicknesses are healed or who get well. Why? Because churches don't look for the spiritual reason to why a person's sick. God tells you don't lay hands on any man too suddenly lest you receive their sin. Is that right? Is that what the Word says? And I believe when you just run up and pray for somebody and you don't deal with why they've got what they've got, I believe that's laying hands too suddenly. 10 years that I pastored for 10 years, I had some pretty messed up people in my church. But every Sunday was deliverance and repentance. And I can tell you in that 10 years, I couldn't think of but one person, a man who came into our church, and he was only there a short time, died of cancer. But it was rare that anybody even had a cold because every week we were repenting. When I feel a cold or something coming on, I say, okay, God, what did I do? I can feel it coming. And it always has to do with my lawless words. And I'll start repenting, and most of the time I can just feel it go just this way. July 2000, USA Today ran a national survey to females to see when they were sick, who did they go to find out about their disease. 50% said primary care physicians who they looked to answers for their disease. 24% said magazines and newsletters. 5% said relative or friend. 5% said self-help books. 4% said school courses, 2% said pharmacists, and less than even a fraction of 1% said their pastor. And many medical tests today are hazardous. A 7-year study of 90,000 women ages 40 to 59 showed that those who had regular mammograms were subjected to twice the surgical procedures and mastectomies than those who didn't, and yet life expectancy is exactly the same. One time I attempted to have a mammogram years ago, and I said, just forget it. She said, well, you have to have this. I said, you know, lady, I don't have a problem right now, but I have enough sense to know that if you did that, I'd have a problem. Because it is a painful process. So, in fact, mammograms, your every cell has antioxidants which help you get healed. And actually, mammograms compromise those antioxidants and make you more susceptible to get cancer because of the of it destroying the antioxidants. Every cell has two antioxidants. Is that correct? And if those are not healthy, then your cells are minimized. Even doctors admit that 900,000 unnecessary angiograms are done every year in the U.S. alone, and 4,500 people die needlessly as a result. Hospitals are lethal. Each year, 2 million patients pick up hospital infections that they didn't have before they were admitted. Of those, 60,000 die from the infection. Henry Wright says that the number one killer, and Henry Wright, if you don't know him, he has a healing ministry in Georgia. He teaches on spiritual roots to diseases. He said that the number one killer of people in the United States is heart disease. Number two killer is cancer. And number three is prescription drugs. And that illegal drugs are not even in the first 10. So, you know, prescription drugs, every side effect becomes a new disease. And if you're on all these prescription drugs, you've got all these side effects, you go to the doctor and say, doctor, you know, I just have pain. So he gives you pain medicine. Then you go back and say, well, doctor, I've got a headache now, or I'm nauseated. He gives you nausea medicine. And then you go and you say, well, doctor, I'm just really sleepy and tired. So then he gives you something to pep you up. And most people are so over-medicated, they don't even know what town they're in. I'm serious. God says, see to it, it says in latter times, 1 Timothy 4:1, men will fall away from the faith, giving heed to doctrines of demons and seducing spirits. Psychiatric medicines give people courage to kill themselves and kill other people. I know people that have killed themselves because they were depressed, they went to the doctor, he gave them psychiatric medicine, and they were always fainters. They bailed out of every problem, and this was an easy way to get out of this world. Just overdose and go to sleep, a peaceful way to die. And the lady that killed her children in Houston, that drowned those children, she was on psychiatric medication. I think the other day I heard that there was a four or five year old that was on three or four psychiatric medicines, that the combination of those medicines killed that little girl. You know, Ritalin, for example, is the same derivative, from the same group as opium, morphine, and cocaine. I have a little nephew right now that they started him on some Adderall, which I think it's kind of like Ritalin. And see, now he's a teenager and he's taking all kinds of drugs. You see, that's a doorway for a kid, and so many kids nowadays, the biggest majority of them are over medicated. And nowadays, if you've got a kid that's hyper, you can almost go to jail if you don't get put on Ritalin. And so I tell you, we're living in some times that is so scary. And then the governor of Texas passed a law that little girls have to have a cancer virus thing. That could cause cancer of something else. It could cause barrenness. The audacity. I believe the Bible teaches there are three reasons why people get sick. Sickness is because of sin. And there's a sickness of death. It says Elijah died with the sickness he was to die with. He had so much power in his bones that they threw a dead man in his grave, and the dead man was resurrected. And then there's a sickness for the glory of God. And in all situations where there's the glory of God, the glory wasn't in the sickness. The glory was in the healing. Jesus turned and healed them. And kingdom principles are that we can take dominion. Just recently, I've had three things healed. For years, I've had an ear that sometimes it'll tickle and I'd have to put allergy medicine in it. And the other day, about two months ago, I just thought, I take dominion over that. And I tell you, my ear's healed. But you know, I just endured and put up. A few days ago, some years ago, I had a bone cyst on my tooth, a root canal. You know what God showed me? I did a word study. It's from biting and devouring the body of Christ. Rawr, 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 rawr. What are you using your teeth for? To tear people? Anyway, I repented over all the scriptures on teeth and tooth and bite and devour. I repented over all those. And the other day, there was kind of a soreness up here in my tooth, and I thought, I wonder if that bone cyst is coming back. Oh, God, what should I do? And I took dominion on it, and I want you to know it's healed. And so I've got some other things I'm standing for. And I'm saying, Lord, I've got a few skin cancers that God's healed in Jesus' name. And I'm saying, Lord, if you've healed these, then give me faith to believe. And if you haven't, then show me why. And you said if I ask, that I'm to ask in faith without doubting. So I'm going to stand. I've had them, and by the way, I've had them cut off before, and they came back. You see, they'll come back if you don't find the root. I prayed for 2 years before I ever had it taken off looking for the root. And then I let somebody scare me and say, well, you better go to the skin doctor, because if you don't, I've seen people's nose eaten off. So that fear ran me to the doctor. Oh, mercy, I've got 8 stitches in my nose. The doctor did not even get what he went to get, because can you know when somebody hates you? This was right during the elections, and I made some comments about John Kerry, and see, I got a whipping. Every demon in him just rose up. And it was about the size of the top of a straight pin. He took a hole in my nose the size of a kidney bean. 8 stitches. And guess what? The place that he did supposedly took off, it's back. I knew from the very beginning it was there. But I declare, and y'all agree with me, it is going to die, shrink, and leave in Jesus' name. Amen. So you see, I'm in a dilemma. I go back. I already got 8 stitches in my nose. So my dilemma is, do I go back? And they cut that off and put in 8 more stitches, and then the thing grows back again. You only have so much nose. And you know, I'm serious. I mean, it's a fearful thing, but I tell you, I'm going to stand. And you know, I told the Lord the other day, Lord, if I can glorify you the most with no nose, so be it. The devil, you're not touching my nose. In Jesus' name. And do you know that I have, you know, it's scary to trust the Lord. But I can tell you, I have more trust in him than I do that doctor. The doctors. Amen. Hallelujah, Lord. Proverbs 17 says a joyful heart is a good medicine. Is it already 12? No, thank God. Oh, praise God. A joyful heart is a good medicine. And you know that has to do with praise. Iko Horman, and I don't know if I agree with everything she teaches, but she does teach some good stuff. But she says there's 80 muscles in your face, and that when you smile, it releases hormones, endorphins, chemicals, dopamine, and all the stuff that that you need to feel good about yourself. So, and also walking and exercise releases. And so sometimes I walk down the road going like this as I'm walking. You know, there are answers. God can heal anything, but there are no quick fixes. True answers are precious. They take time.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.